Well, good morning, everyone. This will probably be the last time that I'm up here for a while. And I'm excited about that. Not that I'm excited about not being able to give you God's word in the morning, but there's a reason for that. Next week is Pastor England. Hope that you come. He has been just a trooper to fill in for us. Preaching not only at the prison, but then coming here and feeding us as well. Next week will be his last week, until unless Jonathan gets sick or takes a vacation. We're going to take what did John the Baptist say? We're going to become lesser that he might become greater, right? So what an exciting time! What an exciting time for us with. I'm sure you've all seen that the asphalt is taken up and the grading has begun over here. Behind us, so construction has already began. We've got our new pastor coming. The Lord has been blessing the church. We're seeing new families added. It's just a wonderful time. It is a great time to be thankful. And that is a great segue into this morning's message. You know, being the last message, I'm going to have opportunity to preach for a while. You might think it would be, well, some deep theological message, maybe out of Romans 9 or Ephesians 1. We've certainly been over lessons like that in Sunday school. It's not a history lesson where we're going to see how God has worked throughout the ages. And you say, well, I didn't know that, you know, this king's name was here, or that he did that, or that God had worked in this way. It's not going to be some unfolding of a hidden obscure truth about end times or something like that that we get excited about. But it is going to be a message that applies to everyone from Mr. Snyder in the back to Mr. DeBoer over here to Greg DeBoer over here or to Cash Wells sitting back there. Every age, if you can listen, you can take what we're going to talk about today and apply it in your life and reap an unbelievable blessing from it. So I hope that that you listen as we work through this. There are not a ton of passages that speak to it, but there don't have to be because the truth is so simple. And you would think, with a truth this simple, then why are we even talking about it? Certainly everyone knows it. Well, you know, there are certain truths that we know that we take for granted. Or we know, but we don't apply. Or we don't apply as often as we should. And that's one of these this morning. We're going to be talking about thankfulness. And so the passage that we're going to start off with is out of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, if you'd like to turn there with me. Verses 15 through 20. Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 15 through 20. Now, don't turn to Romans and expect to see it there, okay? Because you're not. That's what I just did. I'm looking, I'm thinking, where did that go? It's not in chapter 5 there. Ephesians chapter 5. That's what happens when you have more than one marker in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. Paul, writing here to the church in Ephesus, says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, while this is our passage, we're going to be giving special attention to verse 20 always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here in this short passage, the Apostle Paul gives us an outline or maybe a summary of what the Christian life should look like. In that little passage, what the Christian life should look like. He starts off, live carefully. Live carefully or wisely. The opposite of what? A foolishly. Live wisely. He goes on to say, make the most of every opportunity. You might say, live productively for Christ. And he tells us, be on guard. Be on guard against evil, right? He says, these days are what? These days are evil. Be on guard against evil. And we think of the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I hope you're using that in your family worship. I hope you're using that around the family dinner table. It's a wonderful time for our young ones to hear us praying that. And it's a very important prayer. When the apostles asked Jesus, teach us how to pray, he didn't just randomly throw some stuff out there. He put out there what was most important to his people. And one of those things were, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us, because the days right here, Paul tells us, the days are evil. And you and I see that, don't we? Matter of fact, we see that ramping up more and more. In today's world. So be on guard against evil. Work or study or meditate on what the Lord's will is for you. I can't tell you how often I hear people say, well, you know, I'm just not sure what God's will is. Well, have you been reading? Because it's not going to come to you through the television. And if it comes to you in a dream at night, I'm going to tell you, chuck it. Okay? Chuck it to the side. Where you better find what the Lord's will is for you is in God's revealed word to us. So study that. Meditate on that. That you might know what the Lord's will is. I found it very interesting that in all these spiritual things that he's telling the church to do here, the next thing he says, and do not get drunk. Do not get drunk on wine. Because it will cause you to sin. And I'm going to step out just for a minute from the passage as a whole to talk about that. Because I think this is one in the Reformed Church that we see broken more often than we should. Now, why do I say the Reformed Church? Because in a lot of churches today, they teach wrongly that to drink wine or any kind of alcohol is a sin. And we know that's not true. Jesus used wine in the Lord's Supper. But sometimes when we know that truth, we can take license with it. He says, do not get drunk. Let me tell you that what he's talking about here is not staggering along, crawling on your knees over to where the toilet is. That's way past drunk. I would suggest to you that if you're speaking with a thick tongue, you've already broken this commandment. If you're physically hindered in your speech, then what is that doing to your thought process? I think as Christians, we've got to be very responsible if we're going to use alcohol. I choose not to use it. Now, I'm not laying that on anybody in here. Okay, I'm not. But I'm saying, if after a couple of beers you're thick-tongued, you've gone too far already. That's what Paul's talking about here. Do not be drunk on wine. It can cause you to lose control and to think things or say things that you normally would not do. And he gives us a contrast. He says, but instead, be what? Be filled with the Spirit. Now, man, have I heard a number of explanations as to what that means. He is not here talking about speaking in tongues. He is not. They're actually different words that are used. When he's talking about being filled with the Spirit here, He's talking about what a Christian looks like under the ministry of the Word of God. You know, the best way for us to know what something says is to let one scripture do what? Interpret another. Let's do that. Let's take the sister verse to this in Ephesians. Keep your finger in Ephesians there, or you can do what I'm going to do right now. You can pull your marker and put it there. And turn with me to Colossians, which is the sister verse for this. Colossians 3, 16. Colossians 3, 16. Now, these are different words that are going to be used here, but if you listen, he's saying the very exact same thing to the church in Colossae. He says, starting in verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing..." What's this? Same words again, right? "As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart," or with thanksgiving. He chose different words, but this is the exact same passage that we just read in Ephesians. So what is the filled with the Spirit part? It's right up here. Verse 16. "Letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly." That is being filled with the Spirit. There is no better way. There is no more biblical way of being filled with the Spirit than being filled with the Word of God. Letting it dwell in you richly. How are you going to do that? How are you going to let the Word of God dwell in you richly? You need to do that by coming to church on Sunday? Yeah! That's a good start, isn't it, Cheryl? But it can't stop there. You can't come and listen to a 30-minute sermon and be filled richly with the Word of God throughout the rest of your entire week. You've got to be in the Word of God on a regular basis. You've got to be in the Word of God enough that you're committing it to memory. You're hiding it in your heart. You're letting it dwell within you to the point of where when a situation comes up in life and something happens, what pops into your mind? Yeah, the Word. Somebody's mean to you and they insult you. And what do you want to do? If you're a human being, you want to do what? You want to insult them back. Let's be honest. And it pops into your mind. Do not repay insult for insult. That's the Word of God dwelling within you. You come home, you've had a hard day, and your wife says something, and it ticks you off. And what do you want to do? You want to respond like mine. Instead, it comes into your mind to treat her as the weaker partner, to be respectful to her, to love her as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for her. That's the Word of God. When somebody takes advantage of you in a financial situation and you have a chance to do something back, what comes into your mind? I cannot steal. It doesn't say steal when someone's stolen from you, but that's okay. No matter what it is, the answer comes to you from the Word of God because you're filled with the Spirit that way. The very words of God. That's what Paul tells us to do. And then he goes on to explain that, doesn't he? Here's some more ways that we can let the Word of God, the Word of Christ dwell in us richly or being filled with the Spirit. We can speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What's he talking about there? He's talking about encouraging each other with heavenly language, encouraging each other with the Bible, encouraging each other with psalms, words from the psalms, or hymns, or spiritual songs, but not just encouraging each other, singing them, and making music in our hearts to the Lord. All of these things. Let me ask you a question, young parents. Do your children ever hear you sing about the Lord in your home? I hope your answer is yes, I do. I hope they see their mom and their dad praising the Lord in song. I'm not saying that you've got to have a set of drums out or get the guitar or have a family band. But I hope that they really see the joy of the Lord and you going around praising God. Because they're going to want to have that in their own lives if they see that in your life. That's for free. But it's very, very important. You say, well, you know, I'm not really a singer. A lot of people say that when it comes to hymns, and yet they'll sing something from AC/DC. You see them rocking out in the truck, right? When really, let's be honest, singing about being on a highway to hell is not something a Christian should ever let in their mouth. Hotel California, some adulterous song because it sounds like a neat love song, or some filthy rap song. Why is it that as Christians, it's so easy to sing those songs and so hard to sing hymns? No joke. I've seen tons of smiles come on faces when I said that. Because it's true, isn't it? It's so easy to sing those songs, but we wouldn't be caught dead singing a hymn or scripture song, or at least it doesn't come to mind if we would be willing to do that. He's encouraging the church to do that. He's encouraging to let that be your life. What we tune to on the radios and we jump in the truck. Would you be embarrassed right now if the elders went out and turned on your truck to see where the radio was stationed? We should be listening to godly music. And there's plenty of it out there. We're blessed in a time when there's plenty of it out there. We should be, as Colossians 3:2 says, heavenly minded. Heavenly minded. And then last but not least in our passage in here is where we're going, what we're going to concentrate on today, giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what's Paul saying here? Is he saying that we should give thanks for the big things in life? For the monumental things? For the stuff that happens once in a lifetime that just stands out? Boy, it's just a marker. Or is he saying that we should give thanks for things for the things that we can't do ourselves? We can't obtain ourselves. We can't accomplish. Is he saying that we should give thanks for the things that we know are supernatural? Or is it only the routine things, like at meals or bedtimes or like we just had at church, as Elder Souza led us? I would hope it's not just tradition and habit that we would give thanks. What should we give thanks for? Well, we read it, didn't we? It's right there in verse 20. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It should be always, continually, and it should be for everything that God brings about in our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, Pastor England took us through this as he was teaching through a couple of different chapters in Thessalonians, if you remember. Be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in, all circumstances. It's pretty clear. It's pretty clear. Giving thanks should be a daily part of our lives. A daily part of our lives. Now, I've heard it said that it should be just a mindset. Really, that's what he's talking about. Maybe I shouldn't say it should be a mindset, but that's what he's talking about. Just a mindset. Well, I wouldn't want to take anything away from that being heavenly minded. We should be. But it's more than that. It doesn't mean being joyful as a mindset. It means being joyful. It doesn't mean praying as if I'm thinking about praying all the time. We should be praying continually, giving thanks in all circumstances. Should it be our attitude? Sure, it should be our attitude. but not just our attitude or our disposition or our demeanor. We shouldn't just be thinking about doing it, thinking about prayer, thinking about church. We need to be in church, right? If we're asked, how often do you stop and pray? What would you say? How often do you actually get down on your knees and give thanks to God for the blessings in your lives? Our reply to that can't be, well, I don't actually have a time of prayer. I don't have a time when I specifically pray. I hope it wouldn't be at church or at mealtimes or only at Bible study. Because that's certainly not the picture that Paul's trying to paint for the church here in Ephesus or even back in Colossae or in Thessalonians. All three books, right? Our lives are to be centered around thankfulness, brothers and sisters. Did you hear that? Our lives are to be centered around thankfulness. We should be the most thankful people on the face of the earth. Give thanks in all circumstances means just that. And I would suggest to you, at times, it means stop what you're doing and acknowledge it right there. We should give thanks for our salvation, for our Savior who reconciled us to the Father, for our church, for our work, for our recreation, for our health, for our food, on a regular basis. And as often as possible, particularly, the same way that we would confess our sins when we can, particularly, certainly there is a time when time just doesn't admit it, we have to say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. But I hope in our lives, there are times we look at those particular sins and confess them particularly in the same way when we give thanks. I hope it isn't just, well, thanks, Lord, for everything. But to thank Him particularly for these things, even in the difficulties. Our brother Brad quoted the other day, for we all know that all things work for the good for those who love Him, love God, from Romans 8:28. You know, that's a hard passage. And I think there's a time when maybe that passage isn't appropriate when there's a fresh cut on someone, especially at a death or a loss or something like that. It doesn't change the fact that it's true. It's just that might not be the best timing to say that. Well, you just lost your entire family in a fire. Don't worry, God works all things to the good for those who love Him. Doesn't change the truth of that passage. That might not be the best timing to come out with that. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about as we survey our lives, being thankful. Thanksgiving is an acknowledgement to God, saying that you recognize His grace and His mercy, His patience, His care, His protection. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about how often God protects you that you don't even realize it? We have some good friends, the Bergmans. And Ben and Ruby Bergman were wonderful saints, hardworking farmers, lived there, from what I could tell, and from the way that they conducted themselves in the community, lived their lives for the Lord regularly, raised godly children, active in their church. And they're coming home one day from up north, and a car crosses the yellow line. From what I understand, went through a barrier in the middle. I don't know if that was like oleanders or a concrete barrier. Anyway, but hit him head on and killed Ruby. Killed her. How many times has the Lord or an angel of the Lord, a ministering spirit, kept you from a bad situation? I look back in my teenage years and I think to myself, how many times did God rescue me? How many times have you been looking at something you shouldn't even look at, look up, and immediately you get yourself back on the road and go, whoa. Is that a coincidence? How many times was your neighbor's house plundered or robbed and yours wasn't? And I'm not saying that bad things don't happen to Christians, but I'm saying how often does God protect you and you don't even realize it? God's protection, God's guidance, God's love for us. You know, I think I could safely say, and I wouldn't be afraid to have hands go up here, how many fathers in this room do not love to hear their children say thank you to them when they do something? Other than Mr. Tucker, I don't think anybody would. I seen him raise his hand. Oh, you were being funny. All of us love to see our children say thank you, don't they? And you know what? Let me ask you a question. You go out and you go out of your way to do something special for your children, something they don't deserve, like what God does for us all the time. How's a thanks, Dad, do as they run off going the other way? Thanks, Dad! I mean, that's sincere, right? Heartfelt. Well thought out. Real meaningful, isn't it? There's no dad in the world that doesn't like to hear, no father in the world that doesn't like to hear his children genuinely take the time to come and say, man, Dad, I know you went out of your way for that. I know I didn't deserve that. Thank you for that. Thank you for all those times you cared for me or you did this specially for me. Your Heavenly Father is the same way. You want to know how important it is to God? We're almost out of time. You want to know how important it is to God? I'm going to give it to you from Scripture. Turn with me real quickly to Romans 1:21. If you're about to sleep, wake up. I don't want you to miss this. I tend to have that reaction on people sometimes. Romans 1:21. Romans 1:21. We're almost done here. Now, I want to remind you that this passage is talking about unbelievers, okay? God turning them over to their sin. Romans 1:21 says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him." So what did he do? Doesn't matter. No, that's not quite what it says. Look down with me in verse 24. Because of this, God gave them over to their sinful desires of their hearts. And I won't go any further than that because it gets really bad. Now, I've got a question for you. If God darkened the hearts of these unbelievers because of their lack of thankfulness and their lack of acknowledging that He was God, because He goes on to say there, Paul goes on to say that creation itself is enough so that they're without excuse. They've seen His invisible qualities. They've seen His power. They know there's a God, and yet they haven't thanked Him. If this was enough to bring the wrath of darkening their hearts to unbelievers, how much more important is it that believers give thanks to God? When we have the riches of God at Christ's expense given to us, I wanted to suggest to you that glorifying God and giving thanks to God are on an even par, at least according to this passage. God wants to hear you genuinely take the time to thank Him for the blessings in your life. Are you spiritually lacking joy in your life? Start thanking God for His work in your life. for the things we've mentioned, his care, his protection, his provision. I go down the whole list. And I'm not saying go about this in a half measure, halfway. Don't think about it for the next 5 minutes and then go home and forget about it. Go home and make a list of what God has done for you, of what God is doing for you, and of what God promises to do for you. Write it down and keep it as part of your prayer life, as part of your prayer list. If you are suffering from depression, I want you to write that down and then start reading them back to yourself. Because you cannot be thankful and be depressed. You cannot be hot and cold. You cannot be quiet and loud. You cannot be thankful and depressed. John MacArthur's proven this in their ministry, their counseling ministry, down south to over 10,000 people. It is an unbelievable cure for depression, for anxiety, to be thankful. Count your blessings. Pray it out loud to God. Go into your closet and pray to the Lord. We have so much to be thankful for. The fact that He saved us. Look at our church right here. Our spouses, our children, our food, our home, our work, God's Word. A thankful heart will eliminate depression. It will drive it away. I want to encourage you this morning as we close. Practice being thankful. Practice giving thanks to God in your prayers. Let your thanksgivings outweigh your petitions. Let your thanksgivings outweigh your petitions and your supplications. Tell your Heavenly Father what it means to Him. Think through it. And do all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is Christ, Colossians 1:22, who reconciled us to God. What does that mean? Big word. It means He brought us into a relationship where we can call Him Father. He actually taught us to call Him Father, didn't He? We owe that to our Jesus. You can do that, Cash. You can count your thanksgivings, and it's going to make you a happier person inside. Whether it be you or any of us at any age in here, we can apply this today and make a difference in our lives. It's also going to change the way you interact with other people. One simple teaching in the entire sermon: be thankful. I hope you don't forget it. I hope I don't forget it. We need to practice it on a regular basis. We need to encourage each other. When we hear each other complaining, I did this with a brother the other day, and we all complain at times. But I reminded him, brother, let me remind you what you have to be thankful for. You are the child of a king. Look what He's done in your life. Encourage me if you hear me complaining. Snip it. You have my permission, babe. We should not be those who are complaining. We should be those who are giving thanks. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that thanksgiving to You is that important and is that powerful. And certainly it brings glory to You when Your children genuinely take the time to think out, to contemplate, to meditate on all that You've done for us. We are truly a blessed people. Let us show it by the way that we live. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.